Are you there, Ben?
Sorry about that, guys. Had a little bit of technical malfunction with my mic thingy, but it's all good now.
How you doing, brother?
All good.
I am doing, well, my standard response is I'm somewhat fabulous. We just finished a song, a rap song. It's going to be fantastic.
Right on. What is it related with?
Well, we entered into this film competition called the 48-hour film competition, right? And so you have to shoot, write, and edit a film in 48 hours. And we got musical, which we were very excited about because I'm part of a band. And we came up with a song for that musical called Demon in My Guitar. It was about a possessed guitar. It was called The Guitar Exorcist, the movie was, or at least the concept. Anyway, when we finished it, a rap artist went to me, "Hey, can you give me the first like 15 or 20 seconds of that song?" And I go, "No problem." And within a couple of hours, he'd published an entire sort of like rap backing track. And this evening, my bandmate came around and we just sat down and I laid the vocals and lyrics and everything over that backing track. And we finished a song in about 4 hours.
Well, that's bitching.
That's awesome.
So is it all? It's all mixed and ready to roll, huh?
Oh yeah, it's already uploaded and on Facebook and everything like that. I just had to get that out of the way before coming on and joining you fellas tonight.
Well, if you'd like to play it for the audience, you're more than welcome to.
I don't know how to play it exactly through the Skype. Is the question?
I'd have to go to it, and then I could play it.
Well, I've just popped the link into the chat here.
Okay. But, Vince, I don't know if you were catching what kind of the topic in relation that I was trying to stress tonight is how to get younger listeners into the alternative media networks and wake them up. And I was wondering what you have any thoughts on that, my friend?
Well, this gives me a perfect chance to check out my YouTube analytics, and let's have a look at the views and the demographics, because what's been happening is that people have been mostly in the older generation. So let's talk about percentages. In the United States, 13 to 17-year-olds, 0.7% of the audience. 18 to 24-year-olds, 6.3% of the audience. 25 to 34, 20%. 35 to 44, 23%. 45 to 54, 21%. 55 to 64, 19%. And 65-plus is 10%. So you can see that the age ranges from 13 all the way to 24 years is very, very low, like staggeringly low. And maybe this could potentially be explained by the fact that those kids are either currently being indoctrinated in a state school or being indoctrinated in a privately funded education organization known as a university. And once they get out of that and they become about 25, 34 years old, then they start to really click onto the truth because it's freaking everywhere and everybody uses the internet nowadays. But after that, when you've got in the older generations, you're thinking about people who haven't really been introduced to technology quite that much and their habits often reflect a lot more talk radio listenership than other people in younger demographics who prefer videos. Largely. So they're not prepared to sit there and sit around for hours and hours, whereas people of an older generation seem to be able to do that. Maybe being brought up on radio and things of that nature is a causing factor here, but I don't know. All I know is sometimes it takes 20, 30, or 40 years of living under the New World Order before you realize that it exists.
Very well put, Benny. Thank you.
So,
yeah, great points.
How exactly are we going to get through to the younger generation when it's almost a prerequisite for them to suffer for several decades before becoming awake?
I was there.
Mm-hmm. Why would I be interested anyway? Because you all say everything's going to fall apart come this September. So
I was just going to say, talking about rap songs and playing rap songs will help. You
know? I do have it, and I'll put it on just a second here. I'm going to pause for a second. You guys carry on. I just got to step away. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think that in terms of youth involvement, let's think about other movements that have really involved youth. Can you really think of any freedom movements that have been having a large youth culture about them. And the only one that I can think of that I've had any experience with whatsoever is Greenpeace. Greenpeace seem to be able to get young people in. And I don't necessarily agree with Greenpeace with the climate change legislation that they promote and that kind of thing. But what are they doing? Well, what are they doing in order to activate those younger generations? Is it about crisis? Is it about rebellion? Is it getting away from this part of the world? Is it because it's a real organization? Is it because you're saving the earth and that kind of thing? Is it all those things?
Well, there's like the not the hippies, but you know, like the peaceful gatherings and stuff. You know, and they gather a lot of young people with the old people, and they usually are just about having a good time, you know. Like, after all of the gloom and doom, you just want to enjoy life.
Yeah. And what's 50% of the shows here? That's what I'm saying. You know, something, and I'm just guessing. I've never been to Greenpeace, but I'm assuming it's about, you know, getting things back to green. You know, we're talking about this age group. We're talking about their future. You know, if they're only 20, 25, or maybe in their older teens, they don't want to hear the financial crisis and it's going to collapse next year, well, or Planet X is coming, or that the poles are going to shift, or the Madrid fault line is going to split this one country in half. Who wants to hear that?
Hey, kids, the world's your oyster, and you're just coming into it, and you're going to come into your own, and a giant planet's going to smash into you and kill everything. Oh, that's a... as Tommy Chong would say, that's a bummer, dude. You know, oh my God! You know, how bad could it possibly
get? Let's change the subject. That's what he'd say.
Well, you know, there's two ways of dealing with real bad information, and my way of dealing with it, as you can tell, is with a little bit of humor. Now, despite that little bit of humor, it doesn't effectively get the youth in. As I just explained those statistics before, so 7% of my audience is between the ages of 13 and 24 years, and 93% of my audience is between 25 and older. So, you know, again, there's that huge gap. So it doesn't seem to matter whether you're using comedy. It doesn't seem to matter whether or not you've got real flashy gizmos and things like that. Who's got the analytics? Who's got the actual demographic ratings that can show that they've got a massive youth following? And the answer is entertainment artists, really, that are talking about soulless nonsense, isn't it?
Well, like you're saying, it's like, what is the interest? Like, what would make them want to learn something from us, you know? Like,
nobody wants to learn this.
Yes.
My argument is that nobody wants to know this. Nobody wants to learn this. Yes. But the only reason you do learn this is because something bad happens to you that makes you question what you've been told your entire life. And then you actually take that leap and go and find out that there's been something wrong your entire life. And then you spend the rest of your life getting over it and then you die from being exterminated.
Yeah, I totally agree if you can't do anything about it.
Because you tell yourself, wait a minute now, I actually just wanted to go down this little rabbit hole, and by God, I actually fell into this deep pool of quicksand that I just can't get out of.
Yeah.
Well, you find out that it covers everything and you can't find a way out. They don't give you that, you know. But there's always got to be a solution. You can't just, you know, close it all off and have no way out.
No. You remember that that scene in the new Star Trek movie when he's like, he rigs the computer game test. Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, he rigs the computer game test to like disarm the Klingon warbird so he could just blow them up instead of every single other person who does that exam getting killed. Yes. And the whole point of that exam is to experience fear and to accept that fear and maintain control of yourself and maintain control of your crew. That is a vital skill that everybody needs to learn, and it applies very vividly in the truth movement. because you will always be told, you will always be told some crisis or some false flag or some kind of terrible thing that makes you freak out from time to time. And if you're not experiencing that from time to time, you're probably not watching any media of some of any kind, you know.
Right, but that's just how we're taught, you know. Like, we don't have to be like fear porned everywhere we go and every way we think. You know, we could actually have a society that's just enjoyable and everything works too. We just didn't go that way.
Well, I don't know, my show, the way I do it, you know, I talk about all the same terrible stuff everybody does, but I just make really terrible jokes about it. You know, it's like,
it's funny.
Know the poison, but at least have fun while you're drinking it.
It's like who has the biggest stick, you know, and like America's sick with their stick, you know. It's like, it's ridiculous that we have to have who's got the biggest stick as the ruler, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's basically how it's worked in always. Despotism for quite some time, isn't it?
Always. And now, that's why we need a new way, you know?
Well, here's another theory that a lot of people have been coming up with, is that we are actually programmed like this. We're supposed to behave like this. We're supposed to be... However, there's one interesting dynamic to this, the 100th monkey syndrome. Did anybody ever see that experiment with the bananas on the pole and the monkeys with the spraying hose and stuff like that? Just quick roundup for the listeners. They had a bunch of monkeys. They wanted to figure out how to mind control them, so it had a bunch of bananas at the top of a pole. Every time a monkey tried to grab that banana, they'd spray them all with a hose, all of them, not just that one. And then they'd introduce another monkey into the cage and let one of them out. And that one monkey, that new monkey that came into the cage, would go for the bananas, and they'd all get sprayed with a hose. And eventually, they'd rotate everybody out. No monkey had ever been sprayed with a hose, but none of them ever wanted to go for the bananas, and they didn't know why. This is how people get programmed. We do the same thing we always do, because that's the way it's always been done. You ever hear anybody make that excuse? It is a reason that is devoid of understanding.
That's because we want to learn, and they won't teach us anything. So whatever they teach us, we absorb, and we just aren't getting anything good, you know, because they can manipulate all our learning.
Okay, here's what young people are into: fun. How fun is it listening to somebody tell you that you're gonna there's bad diseases and stuff like that out there? Maybe John Stewart. Okay, the John Stewart kind of school of radio broadcasting. It's just there. It's sometimes touches on very serious issues. And according to one poll that I saw, he's the most trusted newsman in America. But news is not a young man's game. It's entertainment. Now, there have been a number of people that have been in the music industry, rappers, for example. KRS-One is a big one, and Immortal Technique is another. Again, these musicians have youth followings as well as ranging up to the old who really know what they're talking about in those songs. So maybe we've been focusing on information in order to shy away from the entertainment factor for too long. Maybe the most successful tactic of waking people up is to be really cynical and just try and entertain people as best you can to keep them enthralled so that it's interesting and fun.
Well, I do think it should be interesting. I think it should be what you learn, and we should have more desire to learn, but I think we've been programmed not to, you know, and we got to break that somehow.
Yeah, but those programs all have different keynotes. For example, red and blue, primary colors. We can create logos that are red and blue. Basically, what you do is you take every single tactic the New World Order is currently using to brainwash it, copy the tactic exactly, but implement it with the exact opposite objective.
Yes. It's so hard to think everything back. Now, it's just
what would be interesting there is that now 93% of the audience would be youth and only 7% of older people would listen to it.
when it gets to a point where everything has to be backwards, why can't we just start over or like at least fix it so it's forward again, you know?
Yeah. well, I think the old adage of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, auto ab chao, meaning order out of chaos, has something to say about that.
Yeah, but we already let them get to the point that we understand what they're doing. Now it's too late for them to keep doing it.
Yeah, well, people want to change things, but they don't want to sacrifice anything, okay? When Britain declared war on Germany in 1939 without U.S. support, they knew things were going to get worse before they got better, but they did it anyway.
I think it's funny, like, when Iceland and a bunch of women banging pots can change something, but, you know, people don't think they can change the world, you know? Like, it's all when we decide without violence that we change things, you know, because it's too much trouble. What we've been going through.
And people want to see things change, but they don't want to do any of the work themselves.
I think anybody would stand up if they knew the key to how to change it.
Can I say something? There's one perspective that I hear a lot in the truth movement, and it's starting to irk me. I'm not 100% sure why yet, but it's this concept that if everybody did this or if everybody did that, then all the things would change. Right. And I've become a lot more selfish and individualistic about having an effect on the world. And I think if I do this or if I do that, then this little thing will change. And if I get seen changing that thing, then it will inspire others who are watching it happen. And a small percentage of those people might decide that it's their time now to get up and do something.
I totally agree.
Inspiration.
You have because to see somebody be able to do it. Yep.
Isn't that because you become that example, though? Don't you think that's what they see in these entertainment stars is an example, something to look at, something to follow?
Well, I spell my name Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. I don't spell it Vinny I-E because that would mean I'm an example for something. I'm not. The best thing, the greatest compliment indeed that you can give a talk radio show host is not to follow their show, but to follow their example. Go off and start your own show, do your own thing and contribute to the world in your own unique way in which the radio show host who inspired you never could.
Sure. You know, nobody should be a follower. That's what our whole downfall has been. Like, now that we realize that we should all be, you know, what we believe that we should be, you know, then we shouldn't be followers. But I do believe you have to be the example and you have to be the one that says, you know, well, I don't need this paperwork and I don't need the way this works because it's not right, you know, and I can't be wrong, you know, like I really want to do the right thing. So I don't want to play this game, you know? I'm sure a lot of people don't.
It's so much easier when you've got nothing left to lose.
That's right. You know? Well, so many people are holding on to that. We're all going to be like that.
Well, you know, it may do. It may not do. I personally believe that, you know, we're screwed. My efforts amount to nothing, and there's nothing I can do to change the outcome. That's my assumption going in. And the reason that I keep, doing it, despite my assumption being failure, is because I don't feel that I have a choice in the matter. Not only must we be strong, not only must we not fear, but we must resist, regardless of our chances of victory.
Don't you think there's always a way to fix it or a way out? Or, you know, like if there's a creator, you would always find a key somehow to solve the problem.
But, you know, if you can find hope in hopelessness, nobody can ever take your hope away from you. Not fully.
Yeah. I don't like the word hope myself. I like to do things.
I don't like it when words get co-opted either. But the true meanings of things still stand, right, regardless of which lying scumbag says them. You know, I mean, imagine if some scumbag started using the word scumbaggery.
I love it. I love when you say that word.
I would be mortified, you know, and I'd be like, dude, he's saying scumbaggery without me, man. I can't even. That's a breach of my copyright, man. I'm gonna file with the patent office, man. You aren't gonna have a cent I'm going to take all your mansions.
See, and that's where we're at.
The greed opens the door. Well, and listen, Vince, Vinny, yeah. I've got ready to play this for the audience and listeners, so let's see how it sounds. I'll try to keep it. I got to tune into your new song here, and let's see what happens. Over. Here we go.
What have you come here for? Tell me what your name is. How you are going to die.
Without much hope, it's my only perspective. Cry out for help, but nobody calls back. Try again, it's just bad timing. Bad rhyming, bad lighting, bad formats, and a disobedient change again. I need to rework, revive, survive, innovate, and initiate fate. Too late, it's all gone. When I get home, guitar jumps out and cracks me right on the dome.
Vin, you want to elaborate on that, what you're trying to say? Because it's kind of hard for me as an elder to listen deep to the words and get it.
Okay, let me just read the words out to you. This is about the time I bought a possessed guitar. I'm telling you about how it had gone too far. Stalking me down hallways and shit, you can rest assured I didn't sleep one little bit. Driving me crazy and haunting my house. Drank a bottle a day of Famous Grouse. Took up ciggies too, smoke and roll, it's what I got to do. Relieving anxiety, distracting from trauma, don't need to heal, I just need a holiday. But up comes the taxes and I'm spitting tacks. Don't they realize it's all we got to do to relax? Desperate and destitute, I'm a side of the river. List. Only $1 million baby I have is when I get pissed. Numb to reality is my objective. Without much hope, it's my only perspective. Cry out for help, but nobody calls back. Try again, it's just bad timing. Bad rhyming, bad lighting, bad formats, and a disobedient ginger cat. I need to rework, revive, survive, renovate, innovate, and initiate fate. Too late, it's all gone. When I get home, guitar jumps out and crack me on the dome. All right.
That's bitching, huh? That's
that
bitching.
Was awesome. So all glad right. You read it.
I hope it sounded good. I don't know how it sounded, but
it sounded pretty awful.
It sounded good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you Google Paki Hachis, PakeHachis, you can find their songs and download them all off the page for free and everything. So.
That's right on. Who's your drummer? He's
Oh no, that was actually an artist called Spearman, who's a local MC and music artist here in Auckland, New Zealand.
But your band, who's your drummer in your band?
Oh, we don't have a drummer.
Okay, so you just improvise with a sound machine or something?
No, I don't know. Spearman made the backing track, and I just do all the words and everything. And my friend Mikhail did the guitar.
Is this an internet band or actually? You guys get together per face-to-face.
Well, we exist in real life, you know, like it's not strictly. It's not
but
strictly.
Your internet, you guys are grouped through the internet, is what I'm saying. You don't.
Oh, no. We I didn't get together with Spearman, but Mikhail, my bandmate, yeah, we get together every other week.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we have Ingolite join us on the panel. What? Welcome, Ingolite. What you got to say, brother?
Hey, Jer Bear. Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. Hey, hanging in there with all the rest of us.
Yeah. You know, I got one magic word. Baba Booey.
Baba Booey. Oh, yeah.
That's a floating sheep. They use them out on the water to mark a shallow water.
Turns.
Get it? It's a bar buoy.
Donald Trump and Howard Stern for president. There we go. Baba Booey.
There you go.
Baba Booey was his running partner on this show with the chick, I forget her name, on how it's doing.
Robin
Masters.
Yes.
Then have you caught the anybody caught the new guy from the UK? We were talking about him the other night. He looks like he's a big boy, and he's got a late show now. Bill or Ken or real funny, man. Real funny guy. Got the accent. He reminds me of your humor, what he pulls off, but he does it in his shows. Like he'll go to a furniture store or a mattress store. He'll start saying, I'd like to buy a mattress. He starts bouncing them on him and sleeping on him with the owner. And he's just a character. And then he has someone come in and they start bouncing. Their daughters start bouncing like a trampoline across the mattresses. He just does phenomenal stuff to bring in humor. And I just wonder if you know who I'm talking about, Eagle Eye? Over.
One more time, Jerry Bear. Over.
The new one of the new guys on the, I don't think he replaced Dave Letterman, but he's one on the late night circuit television, and he has a late night show, and he just does crazy things. He's from the UK.
Yeah, James, I think Grogan, I think is his name.
Yeah, James, that sounds right.
Really cool guy. I like him.
Cool, good. Well, I don't know if you know Vinny Eastwood that much. When he was with Revolution Radio for a little while, then he went back to another network, and we miss him. I wish he'd co-broadcast with us, but maybe I'll hit him up to do that. But I'm glad that he's here tonight and sharing with us some examples of trying to draw in. Robin Quivers. Thank you, Angela Black. Just messaged me.
Hey, Vinny, we miss your scumbaggery, brother. We need you back, man. We need that pureness.
Oh yeah, well I've been off I've been on holiday for like nearly 2 months. It's surprising, like when you've got to produce your own show, do all the audio and video editing and everything, and upload it all and promote it all on Facebook, and you know, be your own everything. It can be a little bit difficult sometimes, but the only thing that would really change that is having like a permanent assistant, you know, like somebody to sit in the bitch chair while I just bark orders at them, like some kind of distorted truth, a drill sergeant or something, and threaten to like cut open his innards and play jump rope with his entrails, you know.
Hey, Vinny, wherever you're at, love and laughs to you, buddy. You're just an enjoyment. Thank you for being who you are.
Well, thank you. I love being me, too.
You get a line, I'll get a pole. With Vinny, we'll go down to the fishing hole. Baby, oh my, that was a good song.
Is a fishing hole like some kind of sexual reference?
Well, when it was wrote, the original song, yeah, but I wasn't in relationship with that.
Yeah, okay. he's talking about the Pope Scope down there in Arizona there. Look, checking out black holes.
The Pope Scope, very similar to the Poop Scope.
It was Poop Scope. We got to give credit to JP for that one, yeah, but definitely.
Well, I wasn't related to anything. I was just, if you get a line, I'll get a pole, honey.
Well, I want to know.
I'll get a pole, we'll go fishing this crowd at home, honey. Oh, babe. But I wasn't related to the physical, the mental of going to the fishing hole with you to learn it. When you go to a fishing hole, usually it's to get out of the cement jungle, you know, and to get your thoughts together. That's what when I go fishing.
Just be careful these days, Vinny. You're liable to get hooked if you go in them type of fishing holes.
Well, see, the
life with them, they would have their own pleasures, aren't they?
One would be remiss to not mention the similarity between flapping dying fish and sexual intercourse with an older age man.
I like that.
But the one thing I really do want to get clarity on is, does the Pope Scope come with a poop scoop?
Can you imagine what it'd be like?
That's a good one.
Walking into an emergency room.
Is a Pope
neck to neck saying, we're hooked. Can you help us?
Oh, I got a story for you. There was a gay, rich car dealer. I can't remember his name.
Oh, my God. This is an FCC violation waiting to happen.
He was very rich. He had car lots all over the Southwest. And he always would have an animal in his hand when he did his commercials. We used to mock him. He'd have a dog and a cat on his shoulder. Friends, the animal you see here come from the Las Vegas Animal Shelter. And friends, if you just come down here and drive a car, we will support the animal shelter. Well, anyway, one night, my friend's mother worked in a hospital, and he came in there. I can't recall his name. Maybe that's a good thing. But he came in. He came in there, and he was in very agony pain. And apparently, he had a big thing wrapped around of his butt. So apparently, he had a plug up there that got stuck, and it embarrassed the hell out of him. We never seen him again.
Did it spiral clockwise or counterclockwise?
I don't know. I don't know, Vin. That's a good story. I mean, that's a good question. We have someone else here. Helena, hi.
Hey, Jabber. I just wanted to call in and say good day to all my mates here. And I want to say a special thank you to Vinnie Eastwood for bringing the sanity. Thank you for your sanity.
Actually, I'm bringing the insanity. It just appears sane because of the world we live in.
Exactly.
In point of fact, somebody called me crazy the other day, and I said, thank you. And they go, why are you saying thank you? And I said, well, if somebody called me sane in a world this freaking nuts, I'd be insulted.
Watch out for F-bombs.
I said freaking with an F-R-I-K-K.
My apologies. The accent got to me. I'm sorry.
You know, that'd be an interesting court case, actually. His accent sounded like a swear word.
Shame on you.
I found it also very ironic that Kalina has a very dirty radio signal.
Yeah, you are a little rough there, Helena. It's not very clear, hon. Over.
Okay. I'll
might want to call back or and come back in.
Yeah, hello, Helena. Come back.
Hey, you guys. I thought I'd stop in, too.
And Angela Black, please. Hello. Welcome presence. Say what's hello. What you're up to and Scooby-Dooby-Doo with Robin Quivers.
Yeah, well, Robin Quivers. Robin Quivers. No, listen,
is that because she's
attacked.
Nervous?
Exactly.
Howard made her quiver. Undercover.
Anyway, I got some text from a friend of mine saying that you guys were going to air Vinny's rap song. So I tuned in on my phone and I couldn't hear it very well, but because my phone, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so here I am saying hello.
I'll give you the link right here for you so you can check it out. And Vinny just created that, right, Vince? You want to reiterate on that?
Yeah. It was finished about 35 minutes ago.
See how he is? He's just like a beetle.
Nice. And hello.
Angel Black is part of our I don't know if you guys formally met, but Angel Black's been with Revolution Radio and produces and has a few shows for herself. So,
yeah, Vinny is my brother from another mother.
Yeah. I was about to say, does she just?
Annie, are you kidding me? But there's the link for Vincent's Mr. Vincent's rap song.
Hey, Mr. Vincent is my father.
I apologize. I'm loining.
Yeah, but no, my dad's name is John.
John, I'll be there in a minute.
Well, anyway, we're talking, Angela, I wonder, do you have any ideas about how to get the youth slightly more interested in the truth movement, i.e. What would motivate somebody who's young and in the prime of their life become really, really interested in their own death?
Yeah. Well, I see them trickle in from time to time, and they tend to warm up in the chat room. There was a gentleman who has been hanging out in the chat room for a while now. He's 33, just turned 33, and was looking to get a show. So that's exciting. It's a trickle effect, I think. And why would people want to waste their youth on worrying and, you know, thinking about their demise? I suppose it's not for the weak. You know, let the masses do what they need to. I suppose, you know, let them sign up for whichever camp they want to check into, and let the ones who wake up, wake up, and we'll drag them around the hell with us. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, well, if you get the ones that are saying, you know, they wake up in the morning and they just graduated from college, high school, they don't have a fortunate method of their parents supporting them to go to college. There's no jobs in their community. Are they going to get back on the internet as just to escape if they have that freedom?
Is this like a checklist?
I'm just saying you wake up as a high school graduate, and the alternatives to turn to are minimal because of the economy, or even, you know, to set out and be a man or set out and be a woman are very, very, not very. There's not much broadness out there.
I completely agree. It was really hard for me to set out to be a woman.
I am woman.
Don't worry. It's the new catch idea. You too can change that, Vinny. It's you know, everybody's doing it.
It's Catelyn.
Well, you know, us old people have nothing to lose, and we're already in pain. You know?
I don't know. No, thank you. All right, I prefer my turkey to still have the giblets.
Congratulations. Well, then you're not a complete fame whore. That's excellent, because I think celebrity transgender situations, now that that's been brought up by me, I suppose, I think it's more of an attention grabber than anything else. I suppose there are people who go through
that's because there's nothing else to grab anymore.
Exactly.
It's just to take you off focus of the real issues that pertain to the livelihood of each individual that's awake.
No, but have you noticed how we also, even those of us who are aware that it's a distraction, still hear about it and get distracted by it? But even for an infinitesimal second,
oh, yeah.
It's like we are that so focused on bad things. And I had a realization, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that the reason why I'm always thinking about bad things that have happened to me when I've got a little bit of quiet time or something, you know, thinking about people in high school or whatever, you know, whatever bad stuff has happened to you through your life. That stuff's still there, and it's really vivid. And depending on how traumatic, it still affects you to a degree. Whereas I tried to think about all these really great parties that I've been to and all these good conversations that I've had with people and all of that kind of stuff, and I got nothing. I can barely remember it. And the realization hit me very early on that your bad memories will stay with you really, really strongly, a lot more than some of the good memories will. That's because today is the only day for you to purposely make good memories. The bad memories come to you whether you like it or not, and they'll always be with you.
That's a good point.
Can we have Jerry sing I Am Woman, though? That was good, Jerry Bear. Can you give us another hum on that?
All right.
That was awesome.
I Am Woman.
That was Carly Simon, right? I Am Woman. Because I sit down when I
Helen go. Redding, I think.
Oh, that's right. Helen Redding. Yeah,
she also sang a song called Angie Baby.
There. All right.
Helen Redding.
Nice. There was a Ed Sullivan show, and he had Helen Redding as his guest, and he comes out and he goes, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. I have a special guest tonight," and he goes, "Are you ready? Helen Redding?"
You're better?
Pardon?
That's better, I think so.
You're better. Yes, you're better.
By the way, I do want to go back to just note that I did get the joke, Vinny, about how there was nothing else left to grab. I got that. I don't know if it went over anyone else's head, but I did get it.
I have whoever cut it off and threw it away. Nobody got it after that, you know.
Whoa!
You know, right in the
not
face.
Not true. They have the world's first penis implant or transplant, I should say, in what, South Africa? So, no, they're using those now. They're using them.
Okay, so this is like literally the pinnacle of the throwaway society right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Bladder-controlled inflator.
You know what? I don't like my Wang. Let's get another one.
Wang Chung. No.
You don't want an old one.
It might be wise, but he might not be bold.
Hey, there was a time where the Wang was the most powerful computer there was. It was the Wang.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Thank you, Matthew. I was waiting for that.
It was coming soon. Good job, MP.
But I want to stay back on the topic of trying to draw or create a method to get younger listeners into the also.
Yeah, all we got to do is talk about Wangs. It'll work.
Well, actually, I realized that the other day. There is not enough Wang jokes in New Zealand. No, seriously. If news was delivered in a non-FCC regulated format, like about the success of shows like The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, whatever, these really gory and nasty stuff that people generally have to pay to get or steal. And the thing that happens is you're able to get away with a lot more, and you're able to then take it to another level, a place where that can make people uncomfortable, where you can push boundaries and be really racy, but still at the same time talk about truth stuff and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Orange is the New Black. I'm telling you, it's a great show. They touched on a lot of topics, and they made it fun. It was great. And it's taking place in a women's prison. I mean, how can you go wrong? Sorry.
Now maybe that actually is the solution. Maybe there actually needs to be a fictional truth movement television show.
Been there, thought of that.
With characters that we can relate to, and that teaches really important lessons is such compelling viewing that you don't want to turn away. That kind of thing. But I'm talking about something that's actually made by people in the truth movement, for people in the truth movement, get new people in. Cartoons, for example.
How about making the new Hulk movie about that?
I was gonna make the new Hulk movie myself, starring my Wang.
Oh, Hulk! Hulk, don't play that shit, homie.
You wouldn't like it when it's angry.
Hulk Wang.
My God.
I don't have to clap my hands anymore. I just
does
Hulk
have a brain?
Well, the Hulk would take care of business.
Some people's energy just admits laughter. Vinny, I gotta just say something. I've been here for half an hour, but just being around you, there's humor, but there's also intelligence with it. And I think it's great. And is there any way we can get it to the kids? You know, if we can open up some kids' minds, you know, some children's minds to get them into the truth movement, let's do it. You know, I think this is great. I mean, cartoons, they had Ron Paul cartoons. They tried that. That didn't really work. The graphics didn't come out too strong. And I think they tried that at one point. But
No. But the thing
there's
is,
there's got to be something.
They're doing cartoons and things like that that are based on reality. We wanted to take it to fantasy, as far into fantasy as you possibly can, yes, but loaded everything with truth so that everything within the script has a double meaning. There's one meaning in the movie world and there's one meaning in the real world.
Nice. Yep.
Now, so that way, not only would truthers actually enjoy the show because they get the second layer of meaning beneath the dialogue, but also new people would be interested by the fact that it's fantasy and it's got some real – I mean, mate, if you want to make the best sci-fi film ever made, the most creative, the most fantastic and insanely cool tech and what have you, just have a look at some of the technology that really exists that's being suppressed. All right, and make little fantasy movies and stuff out of it. People will have their minds freaking blown, and then when they realize that it's real, their minds will be freaking blown again.
The dastardly plan.
Vinny, I'll let you know. I'm on that page, and I've got some projects going on at the moment. So just waiting for the right timing to bring it out, to do it, all that.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I've been helping a few documentary filmmakers lately, and one of them had said that exact same thing about you, just waiting for the right time or whatever. And I was like, well, thing is, the right time is and always is now. The more
bits. Vinny, you jumped the gun. I've got a really bad tooth, like bottom tooth problem, and it's infected. That's the only reason why I'm waiting for the right time. It's actually not a timing thing. It's this tooth I've got to get fixed before I do this video.
Well, you're going to be speaking in the video, doing dialogue and stuff. Are you still typing on Facebook and things like that? Because I've been sick the last 2 weeks, and I've made a song, helped a bunch of people build their websites, made a bunch of interviews for documentaries and that kind of thing. Understandably, toothaches are nasty and everybody got to take some time out. Won't begrudge you that. However, if you're able to type, that means you've got time to like only just like put down ideas or some only it's tiny all little things.
It's all done, my friend. It's all done, mate.
Oh, I'm man. Waiting,
yeah, I'm just waiting on some props.
Yeah, it's
like
going to be awesome.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting on some props, etc. So I think the 100 monkey syndrome has hit a few of us on this particular thing about creating. Mm-hmm. Exactly what Vinnie just said, and a lot of us have actually been getting together and talking. So 100 monkey syndrome on that subject, amazing.
Hey, does anybody know who invented the telescope? I'll tell you, 9 different guys on different parts of the world that had never met all came up with the idea for the telescope on the exact same night.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's how things really work.
Now, the reason why we can pick up information like this seemingly at random and be coincidentally aligned with other people is because your DNA is what's known as a fractal antenna. All right? It's bound in a spiral just like an antenna is, and you can send and receive signals. It just depends whether or not other people hear them.
Right on, Vinny. Yeah, I think Johannes Kepler was one of those in that group. But, yeah, interesting how the creator can create and people can come together and put it into motion.
Yeah, you got to wonder where the signals came from, right?
Well, see, and also the other element is we're all researching into things, right? And the more you research into something, the more you actually change it. It's called the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle. So just by studying conspiracy, we actually change them. Change how they go about them. You know how almost every time there's a false flag now, the alternative media exposes it within an hour.
I think that's because it's always lies.
Well, you know, I think maybe that's actually a good general alternative media way of going about things, isn't it? Assume the government's lying until you see evidence otherwise.
That's why they're getting so uncomfortable.
It's so hard to prove they're not lying.
Yeah. Well, you can't prove a negative, can you?
No, it's all negative.
Yeah. I'm wondering about this as well. The sock puppet technique. If you've got somebody in front of you who's telling you a whole bunch of lies and you sit there and you continue to listen to them, who's the idiot?
That's right.
How many people throw out their TVs? I mean, it's like academia, for example. If you were to, watch a Barack Obama speech as part of your job to point out all the inaccuracies and do an essay on it or something of that nature, then, you know, there's a good idea to it. But if you know that everything he's going to say is lies, why don't you turn on something with truth?
Well, why can't we make it the truth? Why can't we change it?
Because I think the best way to change it is actually through creativity. So instead of being an observer of it all the time and being a sponge for it, you become a creator, create a song.
That's right.
Create a video.
That's right.
Be a creator instead of just a passive observer.
Do something with all that extra time we have now.
Yeah. Well, it's already been established, okay? There's a whole bunch of things to build upon. Anything that gets built, you can change the way it's used or create new things entirely from it. Even a piece of sidewalk, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you know, it's just a sidewalk. But then you see somebody put down some flat cardboard and start breakdancing on that sidewalk. He's come up with a new bit of usage for it using a little bit of creativity, isn't it? And it's the same for everything. And, one thing that people do is they go, oh, that's not creative, that's not original or whatever. It is different, though, isn't it? And because it's different, it means it's creative to a large degree. And the more creativity that we're putting out, the more things we're actually building and willing into reality, the better. If I sit here and I think I've got a really good idea for a documentary or a really good idea for some lyrics for a song, and I don't write them down, don't make the song, don't make the documentary, how exactly is anybody else who's sitting in the 3D universe like most of us are going to find out anything different if I don't will what's in my head into reality? That's the power I've got. That's the power we've all got. And it's the power the authorities struggle day in, day out to convince us that we don't effing have.
That's right.
Probably the power that most people fail to use.
Well, we could replace them if we took the time we have now and just helped each other. We don't need them, you know. We don't need factories like we used to have. We could make up our own stuff with just mom and pop.
Yeah, well, it's actually the James Corbett from the Corbett Report was talking about the peer-to-peer economy. One guy sits there, makes this content, and then, excuse me, instead of advertising to everybody, he simply asks for them to fund the project and make the next episode. And sure enough, people do. So it's people paying now for their own content that they really want, that they know they won't be able to get for free on broadcast television. Because let's face it, broadcast television, the reason why you're getting it for free is because it's worthless. You're not going to discern. Go ahead.
Well, we should just do more than what we were taught. You know, like we were taught we can't do much. But if we started doing anything we wanted to, we would do lots of things. And we could do anything then. You know, like we're just taught we can't do all this.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to remember what it was like to be young. What were we into?
Before we were limited, right?
Ed Sullivan.
Right. It was, I think I was into a lot of cartoons, maybe a bit of rock music, perhaps. And then up until, when you're of legal drinking age or whatever, it becomes about binge drinking and getting wasted all the time and everything until you kind of get tired of that and then you settle down and then you've suddenly got some time to think and then you wake up. But how can you accelerate that process? Like a listener called into my show one day and he says, Vinny, I'm having a real hard time with my family. I can't get them to listen to me. They love the government and everything. What could I do? What could I do that would work? And I go, you could plant drugs on them and then phone in into the police. And then when the cops come into their home and bust up their stuff and rip their place apart looking for these drugs, and then find a really, really tiny amount of it that wasn't even theirs that they think that the cop planted, and then get taken down to jail and get printed and everything like that and snapshotted and have to sit in a cell with a bunch of really angry, upset people on nonviolent drug charges, you'd start to think that they wouldn't be very happy or pleased with the government for too long after that, and they'd probably wake up. Now, I was joking. You know, I don't recommend anybody do this, but the point of the fact of the matter is you can't wake up unless you've had some kind of trauma or you've been raised by awake parents. You are either born and raised to be awake or you were born and raised to be asleep, and then you wake up and go through a massive traumatic grief process in the process of getting over it. Then you start contributing, then you start to go back into sort of somewhat of a rhythm, which is a really bad thing sometimes because you get into such a really good rhythm that you stop evolving, you stop developing, you start ignoring things. You go, that's a crazy conspiracy. I'm not into that one. Have you ever noticed that when you're on chat rooms, message boards and things of that nature, and you have people who are into 9/11 truth, they're into Ron Paul, they're into exposing Monsanto, but you mention one thing about chemtrails? Yeah, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. You know, like other conspiracy theorists calling you a conspiracy theorist for talking about a conspiracy that they're not currently comfortable with.
Right. I have a saying, what's the matter, honey? What's the matter, honey? Don't I fit your comfort level? So, yeah, I mean, I totally get what you're saying on that. And a good way, by the way, with the chemtrail thing is to just call it geoengineering. At least it sounds like the science, unfortunately, that it is. And I just want to go back to this whole setup where you have a crazy mind thinking about the fact that you're trying to figure out how to advise your listener to plant drugs on his family. I'm sorry, what the
No, I was joking about it, you know. Just like I was joking about
funny.
The time.
No.
Yes, that makes a good point, though. That's a great point.
What? Where's that coming in your mind? What gets your mind out of the gutter? No, I'm teasing.
Nothing does. And
let
I,
him,
I was
let him see what it feels like, you know.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine. Well, I've been busted and been arrested, so that's kind of, you know, the most massive, painful trauma in my life, and I'm still suffering with it to a degree. But I think what's really, really going on here, and I love it how everybody says, oh, what's really going on is this, that, or the other. But what's really going on there is that people have simply disconnected, all right? We're closed in. We've got certain media feeds coming at us. And we're blindsided by a lot of things in our lives, even truthers. And I think that's probably due to the fact that once we get to a level of understanding that we feel comfortable with, like, I think I've got this figured out. I've got it sussed. I've got it sorted. That level of comfort should probably only remain for about a month. And then you should wake up that morning and go, you know, I think I've got a few things wrong. I think I've been a bit of an idiot. And if you keep having those realizations every month or so, you'll continue to evolve. But if you get so comfortable with being awake that you start calling everybody else sheeple and start talking down to people, start getting into troll fights and things like that on Facebook, you're not contributing to a positive energy spectrum. Mm-hmm. You're generating hate and discord.
Agreed.
And
agreed, Vinny. Agreed. 100% on those words.
Which is exactly why it was developed.
Well, you do always
drive you crazy.
You do always have to find something new. That's what's wrong with the world. We're not finding anything in intelligence to learn. You know.
Well, it's very hard to convince the older too. I mean, sometimes I get on the defensive. I'll get defensive when I hear somebody 15 or 20 years older than me and they're talking about the younger generation, a bunch of drug addicts, and I want to say, whoa, wait a minute now. Isn't that kind of like the pot calling the kettle black? How many prescription Yes. bottles do you have on your dresser? Who's a drug addict?
Yeah, but the point is that there really isn't much new for those kids to be doing that they wouldn't be doing drugs. You know, like they're not into, you know, careers and things because you only get one career in life and it's hard to even choose one, you know. So there's all kinds of limits. That's what the problem is.
Well, yeah. You know, it's also compounded by the fact that there is no longer a culture rite passage, okay? Back in the days, Navajo Indians used to go on spirit quests and things like that. You know, they'd find their power animal. They'd live in the bush by themselves for weeks or months at a time at the age of 13. And by the time they come back, they're a man of the tribe, right? Now, you know what the rite of passage in New Zealand is? You drink a yard glass of beer and you're a man. You don't have to learn how to live off the land. You don't have to learn how to speak to creatures. You don't have to get in touch with your inner self. You have to consume a large quantity of alcohol out of an incredibly massive glass, and then you're a man.
Well, you got to spend time in the bush, too, Vinny. I mean, isn't that part of it?
You what, what?
You got to spend time in the bush. I mean, that's part of the passage. But
you got to be as dumb as the next guy to be fitting in, you know?
I don't know. I'm kind of sick of fitting in.
You bring up a good point. You know, monkey see, monkey do. You know, you see someone do something and then they do it. You know, you hear a certain news feed, then you read it. You know, what's creative about that? It's interesting point.
Well, I was talking with some of my listeners at a party that I was invited to, and they said, Vinny, you do so much, I barely do anything. And I go, that's not true. How many ways are there to resist a system that screws you over in a million different ways? Infinite. Any way in which you do not play by the agenda is a win, okay? And so I said, name me something in your life that you're doing that is against the New World Order agenda. Have you got kids? Yeah. Do you raise them nice and you raise them to love and be aware and question things and not be scumbags that lay down for the New World Order and execute people with black uniforms and whatnot? She goes, yeah. Well, then you're doing something right. Good on you. And it's actually that simple. Any tiny little thing that you do that does not help to fulfill the agenda is inherently against it. And people have this kind of, I guess, they're sort of hard on themselves. They think if I don't reach this particular level of success, if I'm not like that guy that I admire or that woman that I aspire to be or whatever, they then stop themselves from doing anything because they think that they can't achieve what that person's done. And, you know, it's true because you can only achieve what you can do.
Vinny, Helena said that creativity is going to change our future. And I believe her. She's 100% correct. How can we put this into action? I think that's what we're talking about. I mean, isn't that really where we're going? I mean, finding where this creativity is and how can we help our youth?
Well, because all we ever think or talk about is death, destruction, and not learning anything, you know? So creativity is the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Try to incorporate death and destruction into learning and laughing. All right? I want people to learn. I want people to laugh. And I want people to be glued to my death and destruction machine. All right? That's basically the goal that we're looking at here. Use the weapon of the enemy against them.
It sounds like entertainment. You know? Laugh at the destruction.
The lighter side of genocide.
Maybe think of the TV show Laugh-In for some reason, Vinny. It was hilarious.
But I think, something about in regards to the creativity, from what Helena says, we've always had it, just like the Wright brothers, just like anybody that just – but certain people in this recent past that have created those vehicles in the dune buggy he took off across America out of – made it run off water or something. He got kicked off. You know, he died. So – There's that stop there when you do create something and you don't go with their rules, hatchet. And that's sad, and we need to change that too, maybe. Over.
Well, it's what Kevin Barrett called the leaderless resistance. Everybody knows about Malcolm X, dead. Everybody knows about Martin Luther King, dead. Everybody knows about John Lennon, dead. Everybody knows about Bill Hicks, dead. Everybody knows about George Carlin, dead. All right. See, what happens is when somebody becomes really effective just by themselves or whatever, they basically are painting a massive frickin' target on their back. Let's imagine for a moment that there's actually a theme here. But an exact amount.
One quick question. Do you think they were warned before they were taken out? Like what's his name? Andrew Barbeck that died over.
I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't matter if they kill you, you know, the ubiquitous they, because sometimes just the stress that they cause can either get you to kill yourself or get your body to kill you with stress, you know? So it's like we're in a life and death situation here at all times simply due to stress, because stress causes like 90% of all illness. However, it's besides the point. The theory goes that, let's say you get 1 million listeners or 1 million followers, that means that you're then on the radar, hypothetically. What if instead of that, somebody decided, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to get myself to 100,000 listeners or followers, so I've got just enough to support myself, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the time actually helping 10 other people to get 100,000 followers or listeners for themselves. So that way we collectively do the same damage to the New World Order, build the same sized apparatus, which does the same job effectively without drawing a target on any of the 10 participants because they're too small to be noticed. A leaderless resistance with no head of the snake to cut off.
Right. You do have to have no leaders, because that's what the downfall is. All these leaders end up teaching us bad things.
So naturally, me being a leader of the truth movement, I'm screwed, you know. But
you're spreading yourself thin, and that's good. But look at Jesse Ventura when he went into office as the governor before he was whatever. I don't know exactly what happened, but he was taken to the basement of the governor's mansion or wherever he was, and there was like 21 people there that looked like normal people, blue collar, white collar. And they all were there, and he was sitting by himself, and they all, you know, like he was looking at all them, and they were looking at all him, addressing questions to about New World Order and stuff. And I think that was like his podium to be told, you know, it's you listen to us, and you've got so much You got so much you can do, just like Alex Jones, just like anyone of them that are still alive, that are whistleblowers, that have been successful, that they are at a fence where they know Ron Paul, et cetera, that they know that there are limitations, but they can still get enough out there, but it doesn't grasp enough people, but it does make an effect. Alex Jones, you know, he's the one that kind of opened me up. And like you said, I totally agree with you. A crisis or something has to happen to you individually where you stop and get off the earth. You're limited either health or a crisis with economy, that there's no jobs or layoff, and you have time on your hands. That's when I really got woke up with Revolution Radio. I got involved with another guy, but that's when, like you said, that is true. Something's got to happen to you where you have the time to open up your mind and see the real things. Thank you. Over.
I
because they keep you so busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I advocate, or at least what I think everybody really needs. I know this will sound really socialist, but this is what I did. Is I couldn't work. I was so traumatized from like three jobs in a row screwing me over that I just couldn't work, right? And so I went on a local sickness benefit, gave me $200 a week, just enough to pay my rent. And my wife supported me a little bit while I was kind of going through this real bad time in my life. And I used all that free time to make movies and videos and watch a shockingly large amount of documentaries. Now, without that time to just sit there learning and doing things for myself of my own volition, I wouldn't have laid the groundwork for my current YouTube channel, radio show, and all of the vast spectrum of activists, filmmakers, and journalists, etc., that I've helped through the course of my career. Because the whole point is about helping other people. Find a way to help other people who can't afford to pay you and figure out a way to monetize it so that you can get money, you can still survive, and you can keep helping the people who need it and can't pay for it.
Well, I think he's right about keeping us busy so that we can organize or do things on our own or, you know, be able to afford it, you know. But when it comes to money, money can be how many people you know, too, because you can get things a lot cheaper when you work together.
Well, the peer-to-peer economy works really well in that regard also. I got lots and lots of little jobs here and there filming for people's weddings or other things, you know, just to get a little bit of pocket money so I could buy food and whatnot. So, yeah, you're right. It absolutely is about a lot of the people that you know.
And I think creativity, like she was saying, is about, you know, when people start sharing what they know instead of, like, being competitive. And when we help each other and if more people can do more things, we don't need the government anymore. There's a thing about the government where they keep us in war, and even peace is a state of war. And that way we always need them, because if we were out of war, we wouldn't need them.
Well, they just seem to manufacture them because they can loan money to both sides and control all the media, which gets everybody pissed off at each other. Ah, he's got weapons of mass destruction. He's connected to Al-Qaeda. He's got chemical weapons. How did he get them? Well, we gave it to him, but he's bad. He's a really bad dude. And we're going to go over there and we're going to kill him and hopefully a million women and children as well. Come on, everybody.
Terrorists. All
yes,
of them.
Save us from them. Save us.
From Arnold Schwarzenegger to the governor, the mayor of the Italian mayor from New York City. Terrorists. They're terrorists.
Or aliens or asteroids, you know, we always need the government for something, you know.
Well, yeah, they just had the Terminator on you guys. James Cameron just popped up again from the Terminator. That was interesting you brought that up. He always pops up, old James Cameron, for something, you know.
Is he the son of the father that was the psychiatrist that created, that did all the experimentation in Canada in the 50s with the with the torture and that kind of crap. That was him, right? Cameron, Dr. Cameron?
And, I do know he did Avatar and
Titanic.
Yeah, there you go, Angela. Excellent. Yeah, a lot of incredible movies, but I don't know about the history about the...
Yeah, Avatar, big one.
I was saying that last night. I couldn't recall exactly what producer like that. It ain't Spielberg, but Cameron could be it. Yeah, the father of one of them could be Cameron, like I said, created basically part of MKUltra and that kind of programming with taking people up there to this place in Canada, a mental hospital, and doing very vicious things to them to program. Over.
So the question is, do we really need the government?
They can't. Are they coming to the party, Tony? Are they coming to our party?
They keep confusing us, you know? I'm not sure.
Has anybody lived in a house and they kind of don't like the house, but they just kind of don't move yet because nothing better's just come along?
Stuck.
That's what living with government's better. Like. We know that there's a leak in the roof, and we know that it's bad. We know that there's mold in the walls, but it's the only thing we can afford, you know? And moving's just such a hassle.
we can't afford it. You can't afford it if you take all our money, build a big war machine, and then kill us with it. It's like, it's not fair.
Well, you know, let's think about the John Galt approach where you have basically a court system, and that's about it. Everything else is just local ordinance and government, city, states, and things like that. And then everybody goes, oh, but that'll be too complicated. It'll have too many local rules and everything like that. You know what? Complicated, I think, is good because complicated systems are really hard to dislodge and destroy. And stable, you know, governance in the nomenclature is kind of what people want. They don't want blood in the streets. They want their food to be in the supermarkets and what have you when they need it. They want their water supply. They want their electricity, and private corporations can supply this quite efficiently. However, all of those private corporations are owned by the same scum who own the government.
I think what people really want is to make sense of things, be able to understand it, you know?
Like, you know
not
what you got to
so
do?
Complicated.
No. Just assume for a moment that the world is run by crazy people, and that's why it looks and sounds so utterly ridiculously crazy when you look
totally
into
agree.
Anything. Okay?
It's all crazy.
So it's like, man, why would those people who are ruthless criminal sociopaths with more money than God hurt people for money? Maybe it's because they're ruthless criminal sociopaths with more money than God? The answer is in the question.
Maybe there's too many gods.
Yeah, well, they're walking among us. They're walking among us. And
which one is it?
Who cares? You know, I'm just wondering. Does it really matter whose God is the real God? Considering none of them seem to really be interfering in human affairs at this point. You know,
are we supposed to wait till they all battle it out and there's only one left?
It seems to me that the only gods that can actually interfere in human affairs and do it all the time are the really bad ones. The good, you know.
That's right.
I notice that whenever I pray, like I'm a very a masochistic kind of person. So I like to be in pain. I like to suffer because it teaches me things. And there was this one time when I'd been like living high on the hog for like 3-4 months or something, and I'd been getting a lot of donations, and I've been eating a lot of takeaway food, and I'd gotten really fat and everything. And I was like, oh dear God, I got to do something about this. Got down on my knees. God, please mess up my life. I've had it too good for too long, and I need you to shaft me really, really badly. And the next morning, I went to my PayPal, and it had been disabled by PayPal. That was about 60% of my revenue stream. Pop, gone, right? And it was really painful, and I struggled. But because I'd lost that revenue stream so massively – it meant that I had to suddenly do a whole lot of work in order to get it back. I had to help hundreds and hundreds of people get on air for the first time and do all of this other kind of stuff. And it took me nearly a year to get back to flat tax. But then when I got back to flat tax, I wasn't wasting it, you know? So yeah, you're learning a bit of responsibility, because God is there for you when you're suffering. God isn't there for you in the good times and make them better.
You were going for flat tax, Vinny. What's going on with flat Earth? Help us.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure that the Earth is round. But there's a couple of points that have been raised in a few documentaries, which I haven't had fully explained. And a couple of points that were raised in those documentaries, which have been explained. So, you know, I'm just liable to go with the prevailing theory of the Earth is currently round for now, until such a time as my cognitive dissonance allows me to take in different information and accept it without rejecting it, because it destroys my entire freaking worldview and self-image.
Yeah, true politician. Good answer.
Damn, I'm good.
Yeah. So I think the creator's there for you when you do something like giving, you know.
Someone threw a question in the chat room. What if the gods had a god? Well, those are semi-gods like the Sumerians met up with back in the day. Over.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was thinking about this just earlier today about human evolution and how they say that there's a missing link. So I'm now starting to rotate towards the theory of ancient aliens, that they came here and they spliced a bit of their own DNA with the local hominids and created a hairless ape, you know? Just stupid enough to not resist, but just smart enough to work the machines and get the job going, which later evolved into working-class Americans.
Very nice, very nice. Anybody have anything to say on that? Over.
You mean on how we got here?
You know, maybe we could just put that aside for a moment. A friend of mine got real freaked out about this. He just found out about the reptilians. He was like real freaking out, you know. And like when I found out about the reptilians, I started freaking out. And I came to this realization and said to him, "Hey, bro, like, what? Have you ever seen one?" He goes, "No." "Do you think it's likely that you'll ever see one?" And he goes, "No." So you're sitting here really scared of something you've never seen and probably never will.
That's exactly it.
You know, Baba Booey.
Isn't that about 99% of stuff?
No, actually, he's the best president and vice president, Baba Booey and Hong Kong Fooey.
Quicker than the human eye, Hong Kong Fooey.
Yeah.
I love it.
That'd be nice.
That's what we need.
Let's write it in. Let's
How about Fritz the Cat, man? He was cool.
Yeah. And they're slightly less cartoonish than the current presidential candidates.
Isn't that Felix? Felix the cat, the wonderful, wonderful cat, Jerry?
Yeah.
No, the first porn animated movie, Fritz the Cat.
Oh. Has anybody noticed that George W. Bush looks like Howdy Doody?
It's Howdy Doody time.
Yes,
it's
I Howdy do. Doody.
And his wife looks like Clarabelle.
Clarabelle?
Clarabelle Crowley?
No, Clarabelle and from the guy that used to be...
as an Alistair Crowley?
Kangaroo, what was his name when I was little? You always watched that in the morning.
Captain Kangaroo?
Yeah, he had Clarabelle and he was some other character before he became Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo.
I can still remember the music. Ding, 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 ding.
Programming. We got programmed. Now we got to do good commercials with good energy, with good stuff for the kids now, right? I mean, we got to make that shift. Or do we got to keep repeating what we already did?
You can see what's wrong with us.
Just make the end of the world real fun. Okay, basically that's what you got to do. You got to be yourself.
Come to the carnival.
Agreed.
All right, so we've figured out the reason why the youth aren't currently involved in the truth movement. It's not fun to learn about your untimely demise, how you're currently enslaved and poisoned and such on and that kind of way. And it's not really the fact that it's not fun to learn about that stuff means it's less enthralling, it's less exciting because it's not fun. And yeah, ultimately, ironically, creative ways of figuring out how to make extermination enjoyable is the road to success.
It's a new beginning.
Yeah. Remember the Rubik's Cube? Did we all play with the Rubik's Cube? How about now, every time you touch one of those cubes, a hologram pops up and you learn something about, you know, something.
How old were you when that came out? Just curious.
70s, I'm guessing.
How old were you?
I don't know, Jerbear. How old were you?
I was probably a teenager or older. But going back to that kind of thing, like the yo-yo. When somebody brought a yo-yo to third grade, man, what do you got there? It's a Dunkin' yo-yo, man.
Right.
All the little – there was no 7-Elevens back there, but there was little independent markets that weren't as big as the Albertsons or et cetera, Walmarts. They were just little local, and all had yo-yos, man. So all of a sudden, boom, that was the fad. Everyone had yo-yo. If it was marbles, everyone – and I'm talking about early elementary.
Speaking of marbles, I'm just going to pop out and take a WikiLeak. I'll be right back.
All right. Be back soon.
You mean you had a Dunkin', Jerbear? Wow.
I had a few of them, but
those are the best. Point. The Dunkin', they had like a really good yo-yo.
The point I'm trying to make is the fad came out and everybody in the teachers were confiscating them because we wouldn't listen and we're playing, you know, that it got to be a problem, kind of, sort of, but at recess there was no tetherball playing, there was no hop, everybody had their yo-yos out. And at one time it was marbles, and I remember somebody brought marbles. And everybody's trying to learn to play marbles, but this one kid named Billy Chris got on the sidewalk and sat down with his legs open and put the marbles, big boulders and whatever they were, agates and all assortment, on a little line there. And he says, anybody that hits can have them. And everybody started throwing their marbles, and he just confiscated it up and said, man, I got a bag of marbles now. Who wants to play? And, you know, that's how he kind of like commercialized it to make. And it worked. Little things like that. Nobody played marbles. My dad could shoot a marble so fast and hard. I was amazed when I was young. I could never, man, you had to really have a finger for it. My dad could knock them down in like split seconds. That was the technique I never learned. I wanted to gather marbles and have a collection. And ha, 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 I got this many. And no, I didn't get that many. That's how it went to be. But going, that's why I asked you about the age and the fad and how it comes to fact.
The Rubik's Cube was big. How about you, Vinny? Did you ever get into the Rubik's Cube?
He won't. He'll be right back. He's taking a break.
Oh, okay. Maybe someone else can pop in. Matthew, Tony, Helena?
Angela?
Angela?
I never tried it.
Ange just left us a message. It's 3 a.m. there. So
I'm back.
Yeah, I'm gonna jet out, guys and girl. So I'll talk to y'all soon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more welcome. God bless you.
Good night.
See you soon. I hope. I hope you see my community soon.
Uh-huh. She's gonna pull a transvestite on us and drop out.
She'll be Hell's Angel.
Oh, wait, I meant to say drop off. Sorry.
Nice to hear from you, Angela.
Oh, thanks. Yes. Yeah, I'm usually not up this late, but anyway, nice to talk to you guys. Bye. Have
some
a good
eggs. Make some eggs. I'll be
off. Wait a minute.
Cook me up some bacon and some beans. Bye bye. And Helena, what do you have to say? Anything on things that you see?
There's a couple of things actually. The word need. To say that we need this and we need that. We don't need anything at all. We don't need more of the youth. We don't need it. And also, I just want to say a little thing about fear. I had an epiphany about fear, because sometimes I get debilitated by fear myself. And I just switched. I realized that if I can get a hold of my fear and strategize a way out of my fear, I'm going to be okay.
there's things that people can do to logically get yourself out of a fear mode. You know, just say you're going to court or something's happened or you don't know what the outcome and you're afraid of the outcome or the stuff that we're hearing. I don't listen to the news, so I don't know. And that debilitating paranoid fear feeling, you can actually talk yourself out of that stuff. But anyway, word need, the whole need thing, it just doesn't sit well with me. I don't need anything. Neither do you guys. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: does your newspaper? Do you get the local newspaper to your house, or do you ever catch the headlines? The front page news is always something.
I don't see it, JB. I don't look at it honestly.
No, I don't either. But once in a while, I see it. It's never nothing like nothing. There's nothing on the front page that's positive or happy.
That's the way it works. That's what sells.
Problem is we're all in a victim state. Like, everyone needs to get out of that victim state. Oh, look what they're doing to us. Oh, they won't let us do this and they don't let us do that. That's actually another trap.
We need to go into the abuser state. Not look what they're doing to me. What can I do to them?
Then you're picked up. Then you're on radar.
What about guidance for children? Is that a need or is that just an assumption?
Well, I don't know what this concern is about.
Fear doesn't do anything for you. That's what she said.
I disagree. Fear of death is the only motivation that I need in order to do my radio show. You know? Hey, I need to make people laugh and have a good time and expose the truth. Why? Well, because I'll be exterminated soon and I won't really have a chance to do it after that.
I like to think that forever is the one secret they don't want you to know.
Well, fear is what you do with it. Now, there's an old saying, there is no courage without fear. And it's true. And I think that people who don't experience fear at all are out of their minds because there's plenty of things that are very tangible to be afraid of. But it's key to accept that fear and maintain control of yourself and one's crew, as we mentioned before with the Star Trek analogy. You know,
I have no fear at all. And fear's
the mind.
At all.
Fear's the mind killer. Don't let people it kill you.
Yeah, people need to stay in control of themselves. Like, don't let your emotions get the better of you. I mean, I'm a woman, and I have access to that male part of my brain. I won't let it get hold of me.
That's why I said forever is a secret, because if you knew that you lived forever, people wouldn't hurt each other, and you wouldn't have any fear.
So that
actually reminds me of how I deal with nightmares when I was a kid. Did anybody ever hear of the game Doom 3D? You know, Doom, the game Doom, first person shooter. You never heard of that? They made a movie about it.
I remember that one.
Yeah, well, they had a cheat code in it called God Mode, and you just type in the cheat code IDDQD, and your little character's eyes light up with this light, you know, they're coming out of it. And it doesn't matter how many monsters are attacking you or what they're doing or throwing fireballs at you or slashing at you with giant axes or anything. It just bounces off you. It does nothing. And so whenever I had a nightmare as a kid, I just, in my dream, type in IDDQD and go into God Mode, and then whatever was frightening me couldn't hurt me. And that's
great.
And, you know, which comes to one of my favorite sayings, never underestimate somebody's ability to play a mind game with themselves and win.
That's right, because it's all in your mind.
It's all in your mind.
That's a great analogy. Thank you.
It's all in our minds.
We all need the God mode.
George Harrison used to say in the movie, the cartoon animated movie, what was it called? With the submarine, yellow submarine movie? It's all in the mind, you know.
It's all in the mind. Have to go to the next.
Hey.
The next step. Vinny was saying, okay, we figured out why. Let's go to the next step, and you tell me, why would I want to hang out with a bunch of guys like you?
Well, namely because no matter how bad things get, we can make terrible jokes about it and make you laugh. Yes,
I mean, because you sit here and you discuss third party, fourth party information you've all heard. Exactly. You're probably never going to see.
Yeah.
It'll probably never come to conclusion. Reading and yet you're sitting here arguing over it.
Yeah.
and you call yourselves truthers. I don't think
we're arguing.
First of all, there is no argument here. It's called a discussion. Now, what people do when they have an idea in their head, but they're not sure whether or not it's true, they ask and they discuss with other people in order to see whether or not what they're saying has some kind of counterpoint, whether they're wrong. And if it doesn't turn out that they're wrong, then you can actually then start taking action based upon those conclusions that you have in those conversations, which are conducted in mutual respect, without assuming what somebody else's life game is or plan, what their entire history is, without projecting any of your own psychoses onto them. And in this way, you can at least come up with some ideas. Yes. Now, sometimes the idea stage is very important. The worst part about the idea stage is that it's also addictive. And that's why people need to sometimes think, okay, the idea is good enough. Let's implement something here. Yes. Now, I haven't said anything on this broadcast that I haven't already done and proved to work.
I'm denouncing myself as a truther. I'm denouncing myself as a truther. I am now a seeker.
I never was one.
And I'm a guesser.
Vinny, how about discussion and exploration without judgment and creative, proactive input?
Well, you know, I mean, let's think about this then. Has anybody come up with any greater realizations that might actually change something that you do in your daily life tonight? Is there something that's going to be happening after this discussion which you're actually planning to implement? Well, not me, because I was planning on implementing these things that I've talked about anyway and are currently doing.
After this discussion, there'll be more discussion.
Yeah, I think we get a little bit out of every discussion. And if we look positive at each other instead of, you know, for the bad things, I think we get a lot out of everyone else. You know, like, I think that's where we get ourselves is from everyone we know.
Let's all climb the tree together. You know, the tree fort's fun. Who did not have fun in their tree fort? I mean, those are good times. Let's all climb together. Why not? Let's agree to disagree.
It should be a fun world. It really should.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. It's just the end of the world. There's only 50 chemicals in your water, bro. You're only getting irradiated by like 70 different wireless smart meters at the moment. You know?
But we don't really know all of that stuff. I mean, any of it could be made up, you know? Yeah.
Right. Well, you bring up a good point, though, Vinny. We shouldn't argue that there's 49, you know. That wouldn't, you know, it's a good point.
Yes.
Yeah. And not to mention, this is called talk radio. When you're on talk radio, do you know what you do? You talk. You can't take action when you're on the radio. I mean, it's like calling into somebody at a horse race and saying, why aren't you taking it slower? You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be racing.
Well, this is the only place to find a solution these days, right?
Oh, really?
There are 7 billion places to find solutions, okay? Roughly. And there's another one being born every second.
But you got to work together somewhere.
not necessarily. I mean, collaboration is fine.
Different
and working with people is cool, but I'll never work for anybody ever again. I don't like that power structure.
Helena, did you want to say something? Helena wanted to say something here. Hold on.
No, it's okay. I'm still listening.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
I want to go back to something the caller said as well about, you know, we call ourselves truthers. Well, let's think about it. What's the definition of a truther? Has anybody actually ever Googled it? And what's the nomenclature and practice of a truther? Has anybody seen a handbook?
Well, who wants to claim they know the truth? Here's the thing.
Such a silly term to call yourself a truther. I mean,
I prefer to call myself a conspiracy theorist. Now, in my definition, a conspiracy theorist is a person who believes, absolutely believes, and you can't convince them otherwise, that powerful people who have a lot of influence use their power to maintain or grow their influence. On the other end of the spectrum is a coincidence theorist. A person who believes that everything happens by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as deception, backroom deals, or malicious intent.
Well, here's the definition.
There's people that are just real.
Here's the definition of a truther. One who rejects the accepted explanation of the events of 9/11. Truthers generally believe the U.S. government committed the acts of terrorism against itself. That's from a BYU professor.
Sounds Stephen like the Jones, government.
Excuse me. By BYU professor Stephen Jones is perhaps the most famous truther. So they have a few things about that.
Well, and there you go. So you say I'm a truther, but it doesn't imply anything about your stance on fluoride. It doesn't imply anything about your stance on chemtrails, GMOs, EMF wireless radiation, or a whole host of other issues. So by very definition, we cannot call ourselves truthers because we're not just truthers.
Well, there's 20 words
made up.
There's 20 words related to truthers on this little link. Say 9/11 truth, conspiracy, truthers, birthers, conspiracy theorists, honest liar, truther, trooper, conspiracy theory, tinfoil hats, kook, new world order, deather, twerfer, warmers, Illuminati, loose change, nut job. Those are the words related.
that's straight from the government.
I heard a funny one. How about hippie addicts with technology?
I'll go for that one. I'm in that job.
So many definitions.
So now, isn't it amazing that so many of those words that describe technically the same people in terms of the list are all disparaging and ad hominem attacks?
They're talking about nutcases so that they can prescribe drugs to you.
Yeah.
Yep, they're pills.
Their drugs aren't worth anything, though. They're poop. You got to go to the black market.
Who defines this stuff? Who makes up these words and why do we believe the meanings? You know, because they're all made up. Everything's made up in this world.
It's the 440 alchemy, you know, alchemists, the 440, you know,
here's
440
another,
people, you know.
There's a little more added, another definition. It says truther is one who rejects the official explanation provided by September 11, 2001. They include professional architects and engineers, scientists, and other scholars, firefighters, pilots, veterans, doctors, the victims' families, and people from countless other walks of life. People who reject the official explanation live in a paradigm that sees the mainstream media as a tool of manipulation for the masses.
The word patriot also.
What about the word awakened?
I'll be right back with that definition.
You know what the truth is in law? That a fork is a spoon. There is no truth in law.
Well, that's because forking leads to... Oh, no, that's because spooning leads to forking.
I knew that was coming.
But that's how...
That's what she said.
It's all nonsense, right? and we make it real. It's nonsense.
Yeah, well, I never underestimate the ability for illusions to teach you very valuable truths.
It's because we don't even have an education to understand the illusion. It's so funny.
Well, here's what you need for education, basic maths, arithmetic, reading and writing, and the ability to create and trade. All right, so I didn't get any classes on how to create a product, how to market it, and how to run a business. Yeah. Did any of you get that class in high school? No. Wouldn't it have been quite valuable?
If they taught you something, you might go against them. They can't teach you anything.
I remember in fifth grade, it had something to do with contact a corporation or something to learn about it. And I wrote to Boeing. Back then, it was in the 50s, 60s, I sent my information to Boeing, and they sent me a big old envelope full of information about Boeing, and I got a decent grade for a change for that subject. I was thrilled to have the information about Boeing and what they did and planes, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't realize then what they... That they were contracted with the Department of Defense to do black projects, et cetera.
Hey, and I was thinking also about how a lot of, you know, quote-unquote truthers and even people in the quote-unquote truth movement are now saying to, you know, truther, you know, with an F, that kind of thing. It's almost like within the truth movement itself – people are making fun of truthers that have come into the movement who are completely full of crap and really, really stupid and actually believe everything they've seen. And I think this comes back to the fact that we've got people who are coming from little to no educational background and learning all this stuff for the first time. It's like being a child lost in the woods. There's so much ground to cover, and it's very easy to get lost. It's very easy for this stuff to make you go crazy. And I think, again, need to be reiterating the fact that, oh my God, you have to put some more Wang jokes in alternative talk radio. That's all I'm saying. More Wang jokes, more cackles, more chortles. Yeah,
laughter with laughter.
you do have to laugh at yourself.
And can I add to what you just said, Vinny? And the thing is, what this whole truther thing does and what it opens up and the ground people have to cover if they are introduced to it is there's a lot of feeding into the victim state consciousness, and that the whole truth of the thing is just this conglomeration of fear and the unknown, and a lot of it is a validation of you're a victim, and that's where it gets frightening. And people need to see, they don't need to do anything. People don't need to do anything. And I'm sorry for using that word. But I think the critical point is feeling like you're a victim. Mm-hmm. Because if you feel like you're a victim, it's definitely something people can do something about, not being a victim anymore.
Well,
and that's what you concentrate on, not being a victim.
Luke Rutkowski, for example, 9/11 Truth, We Are Change in New York. Now, he runs up to Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico, who's at a trade conference there, and has a conversation with him as they're coming down the thing about free trade and about false flag terrorism, what it means for America. Would you say that Luke Rutkowski is rocking a really bad victim mentality because he's a 9/11 truther and he's going up to people who are actually very powerful and influential and talking the truth about them, unlike what all the other journalists who actually are the ones who are really afraid of losing their jobs if they say the wrong thing, who don't ask those kind of questions? I think that being a 9/11 truther is the opposite of a fear mentality. I think it is a war mentality, in fact. It's about going off to fight regardless of the consequences, just because it needs to be done and nobody else is going to do it for you. It is a personally empowering mentality that compels you to take action specifically because you know that you may have to take that action alone because the situation is that bad.
Well, I think I've already done that personally in my life. You asked the question before, is there anything that you said, actually you didn't ask the question, you said there's nothing that you've spoken about that you haven't done. Well, touche, there's nothing I've spoken about that I haven't done either. So
Means Luke Rutkowski has a fear mentality because he's a 9/11 truther because...
Well, to ask a question that's basically a paragraph long, I'd have to sit there. It'd have to be written out so I can read it again, Vinny, and answer it. What I'm talking about is the small level of victimhood, people feeling like they'd have no control over their own lives when, in fact, they do. It's a magician's trick, okay? That's what they want us to believe, that we don't have control, and we actually do. We actually have control in our homes. We have control. There's things we don't have control over. But I'm very, very against this victim state people are in.
Well, how about this, for instance, if you're a father of a family, you're the bread maker, and the wife is home taking care of three children under five, et cetera. He loses his job, he has something happen to him that causes him. Let me finish, please. I'm just showing you. This gentleman is raising a family, and all of a sudden he has an illness that has no insurance coverage, and he's got to turn to an option of a hospital and a doctor telling him, hey, this is going to be like $250,000. Now, that's a little bit of fear, and he doesn't have the money. What does he turn to? You know,
Dealing with the victim and being in fear, what can I say?
So he's victimized by the system, but what was he turned to in your shoes?
Yeah, the thing is, this isn't black and white. People have their own ways of learning about life, and maybe there are lessons to be learned. Who knows how he got there? Who knows that he might have turned out to be the hero of his life? Perhaps he even came up with a great business idea and got out of something that he wasn't happy with, or out of an unhappy marriage. Life is black and white. People need to start being the – no, people, if they're inclined to, might want to be more steered to be the hero of their own life instead of looking for heroes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But that gentleman in that instance has to look for options and do research like anybody else to take care of that problem.
Take care of business. The last thing that this gentleman would want for himself or his family would be to spiral in a victim state. What would be conducive for this particular gentleman or anyone else who's in a bad state in their lives, which I also have been and written a book about it? I used to be a victim and I'm no longer a victim. And not because I'm an extraterrestrial with extra powers, because I'm a human being who figured out I wanted to be the hero of my own life.
But there's so many people in that problem right now that it's like...
Can I cite a personal example? I saw Luke Rutkowski going out ambushing people with a camera, and he inspired me to stop watching him and go out and start filming people with my camera myself.
Right on.
All right. So, how does that mean that every 9/11 truth has got a victim mentality?
I never said every 9/11 truth got a never. I never said that.
Okay, so it's just some of them.
No. Song. Are you the hero? I'm holding on to the hero.
It's about that leader mentality that you need leaders to do anything in life, you know, or to learn anything. You can find everything on your own. You can do everything yourself. You don't need other people.
Exactly. Be your own hero.
Well, and I think also people misunderstand what the qualities of a leader is: courage and sacrifice.
To make followers.
No, that's a manipulator. That's a Pied Piper.
Well, what does the religions in the world do?
They certainly don't lead anybody, not to any place good. For you.
A leader is someone that thinks for you and you follow their lead.
Maybe by somebody's definition, but by traditional meanings, leaders in war, like let's say Sun Tzu, for example, they had a way of getting people to follow them, and they had a way of using people in order to achieve objectives. They also had a way, and the reason why they were able to get people to follow them is because of their ability to see other people's traits, capacities, and skills.
It's because nobody else was educated like them. You know, it's usually a leader is the rich people, you know, because they have the education.
There's two types of leaders, though. Those who lead from the front and those who lead from the back.
You don't need leaders.
You don't need leaders.
You do if you're fishing. You do if you're fishing. And you do if you're in a platoon. You have to have somebody that takes charge.
Yeah, people don't work real well when they're all left to their own devices if they're not educated how to take personal responsibility for themselves and those around them.
We need people that share their knowledge and not charge for it.
Are you saying that I don't charge for it and I'm sharing knowledge.
I consider
myself a bit of a leader.
Leaders use their intelligence against other people instead of giving out their intelligence.
No. Well, hold on. Differentiate the two types of leadership. One is direct leadership, where I give you orders, you do something for me, and I get a result for myself. Versus the other type of leader, which is I come and do something for you so that you can continue to do it for yourself, and I receive no direct benefit. And hands off.
There's a third type of leader who rules with a velvet glove.
No, there's somebody that says you don't need a leader. And then I could teach you anything that I know.
Well,
and
you're,
you don't
if
need
you're,
me.
If you're on a contract.
That's actually what I say on my show all the time.
If you're on a contract with military, or if you're on a contract with any kind of obligation that you've signed for, you better expect some kind of leadership, or you ain't going to success in something that you like that you signed the contract for.
When you have like a creator behind you and it says do no harm or don't kill, then you go and do a contract with somebody that's telling you you have to, and the truth is you don't.
Sign up for the military.
Well, hold on a second. A sociopath abusing his power is not meant to signify that all leadership is inherently bad. Sometimes it's absolutely necessary, particularly in survival situations where you have the most skilled person looking out for everybody and making sure people don't die because they're inexperienced and stupid and they're fumbling around in the dark in a black cave.
That's the problem.
No. Only strictly emergency situations is that absolutely warranted. At all other times, educated by their parents to take personal responsibility should usually take care of all things in the economy, all things to do with education, all things to do with health, because people wouldn't be stupidly eating themselves into death.
You're assuming that people aren't that intelligent, and I think we don't need.
I know for a fact that they're not. Have you had a look at all the conclusive studies?
Did you give them a good education first?
Hold on,
really?
Hold
I mean,
on.
Can I finish?
Hold on, I got something too here.
Let him finish, please.
Okay,
and then
there have been a myriad of studies that have conclusively proved that the average IQ worldwide, including the accumulation of chemicals in the bloodstream and all the mass media and everything that we're going, that people are getting dumber and dumber, not smarter and smarter. Anybody who doesn't think that there are a whole lot of stupid people out there who will believe anything they're told is being very naive. On average, about 30% of people will believe absolutely anything they're told without asking to see evidence. Approximately 30% will ask to see some kind of proof, 30% will demand a lot of convincing, and 10% will never be convinced of the truth.
Because there's nothing to learn out there.
What are you kidding?
I could teach you one thing during this entire 3-hour broadcast, and that automatically proves you wrong. Have I said anything on this show
saying.
That you...
I'm saying is that, you know, like you're saying, you need a leader to do everything, you know, you need somebody to teach you and all this
stuff.
I never said that.
Sometimes it's mentorship. Mentorship is better than...
Let him have rhetoric. Hold on.
We're trying to all say that you don't need leaders because you should be leading your own life. That's the point. It's not about, you know, what good a leader is. It's about having your own life.
That's a fair point.
And we're not all dumb. Nobody's all dumb.
I never said all dumb. I'm saying there's a lot of stupid people. Do you deny that? That there's lots of stupid people in the world?
I deny that totally.
Mom,
everybody on Earth is a genius. Is that your opinion?
Everybody
has a brain. How's that?
Because I've got something really important to say. Now, look, I get what you're saying, and Vinny, about a lot of people are dumb, whatever word, adjective you want to describe them as. But the thing is, people cannot get smarter if they're not given opportunity to gain experience to be able to self-govern. And what leaders do, whether with the best intentions, because they have to lead because people are too stupid to look after themselves, like basically what you said earlier.
It's worked in the reverse order. The leaders have dumbed people down so that they can't take care of themselves and then think that they need a leader.
Yeah.
That's what, making a very valid point. We need people to make mistakes and to be able to learn to be able to self-govern, but we're not given that opportunity because there's always a father figure, there's always a mother figure, there's always something there, a leader to do it for you.
Are you suggesting that nobody should have any parents or be raised or have any mentors or anything like that and just be their own leader through life in isolation? I mean, that's the extreme, but let's think about transitioning, right, from point A to point B. Let's think about that one extreme over there, which obviously can't work because people can't take care of themselves to that degree earlier on in life. And then there's the current thing where a lot of people are basically overly nannied and they don't, and they're not allowed to develop. Well, what we need to find is a bridge in between those two worlds where people have enough independence to grow and develop, but not any dependence on people perpetually for the rest of their existence for them to survive and learn.
That's exactly the point I was trying to make. People need to be able to evolve themselves and gain knowledge themselves, and sometimes we start off stupid. I'm pretty sure I started off real stupid, and I got real smart real quick when I was actually left to my own devices.
Once that's experimenting. And one thing I'd like to say is when you're growing up in the school system, there's teachers that are leaders that you, if you yourself feel the vibes from him and that person clicks with you, he could necessarily be a leader. I had a teacher that influenced me in high school my senior year. Jared, you're good at this. I know a place to go to college. You want to go? And he opened up. So teachers can be leaders, but maybe not specified or defined as one, but they show windows to open. And that's a sign of a leader's opening up windows for you, open up avenues for your personality or who you are. And I think everybody has those.
I went to an entrepreneur conference this one time, and they said that one of the main points of networking with people isn't just to find contacts for yourself to do business with, it's to find contacts for your friends and other contacts to do business with together outside of you. That's how the human social circle traditionally operates most effectively, when people are helping each other and don't really have anything to gain from the transaction other than the fact that it's a good transaction and they feel good about it.
And right? They have, when they hook up, they have a good time together over the results.
Okay, so what changed with me is that I went from thinking that I know it all as a young kid going to university to actively seeking out people that are publishing magazines with 9/11 truth stuff in it, and radio show hosts and YouTubers and all these people that I thought really highly of. And many of them took me under their wing, taught me a lot of things, have supported me greatly. And sometimes when you seek out a little bit of leadership for your own ends, I think that kind of cancels out the power relationship of somebody having power over you, because you're actually wanting something from this person and you're willing to do the work in order to get it, aren't you?
I think she was saying that most people can figure it out if you give them a chance. And we don't really need people to say that I know how it's done, and then you don't really teach someone how to do it themselves.
Well, it's like with kids, you know, like a stranger comes in and they'll ask the kid their name or something, and the kid will look to mummy before telling the person their name, because they don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, and that's
programming.
So this is the biggest thing that needs to stop being stamped out of children. The willingness to have a go and be prepared to be wrong, you know?
That's right. Well, they shouldn't be taught no first. They should be taught, you know, whatever they need to learn, you just give it to them, you know? Don't say no all the time.
Yeah, exploration, exactly. Creativity.
The child knows what it's ready to learn, you know?
Yeah.
You need to provide it.
Well, Sir Ken Robinson's son, one time he did a school play, you know, the nativity scene with the baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary and all of that kind of thing. Well, he got the role of Joseph, and his dad was really excited and came in there. And you know how the three wise men come in and they give him, what was it, oil, frankincense, and myrrh or something like that? And the kids mixed up their lines and they got him a little muddled up, and the frankincense guy was last, so he just made it up and he said, "Frank sent this."
Wasn't it frankincense? Frankincense?
It was frankincense, and the kid got confused because it all went out of order, and he said, "Frank," and he put down the frankincense and said, "Frank sent this."
That's perfect.
You know, kids are willing to give it a go. If they're not quite sure, they'll just, you know, I'll take a stab in the dark.
Yeah. Frankincense and myrrh, and now they've got hemp oil. You know, maybe that was there then too. You never know.
Yeah, allegedly. In fact, I interviewed a documentary filmmaker who, if you've got a few dollars, send it this guy's way to download this documentary. It's primo, bro. Drug Lord, LAWED .com. And there was that point actually with the producer that I was interviewing where we talked about that, and he said, well, actually, yes, there's a strong possibility that the anointing oil that was given to the baby Jesus was cannabis oil, which was used quite widely at the time.
Sure.
Which explains partly why Jesus was so laid back.
Well, it's a cure-all. You know, it's very important stuff.
I'm just joking about that. Nobody likes jokes about religion, do they?
Sorry.
I do. Keep going.
It was good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been here. It was placed here, and it's healing here for us. It's only good. There's nothing bad about it. It's all good.
Yeah. Hey, people haven't figured out that that's how Jesus cured all those people of all those incurable diseases. He's like, yeah, give me some of this oil, bro. It's freaking mean. I got a big pot of it from a wise man when I was born, bro.
He came back to his apostles and going, I got the stuff, man. I got the stuff.
I got the Jesus brew, man. Jesus brew.
I got
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, man. That's good stuff.
So, anoint me. Anoint me.
Hey, Jesus. Your dad is the best, man. I mean, God damn.
Now, come on, isn't it Yahweh? Didn't they put that J? Didn't they throw that J in there in 1550? Now, come on.
No, that J was rolled up in smoke.
But isn't that how good it really is?
That's actually what happened to the Dead Sea Scrolls.
I heard that.
They got rolled up in smoke.
Up in smoke.
Up in smoke.
And those dirty guys founded in 1947, created the United Nations, and boy, did we get crazy then.
You know, this reminds me of something. We had a politician here in New Zealand called Peter Dunn. He's been in Parliament for like the last 10 years running, right? And every single time somebody tries to amend the laws on cannabis to allow it to be used for medical or legal or decriminalized or anything more liberal than lock everybody in frickin' jail, he says, no, it's not going to happen. And then last week, you know what he does? He goes, you know what? Legalizing ecstasy might be a good idea.
Oh, my God. Are you
He flipped.
Gosh, I got to mute.